This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Hi, welcome to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and today's show I'm really excited about. I have with me today my dear friend and colleague, Krista Oddi. We are going to be speaking about hope and parenting. Before we launch into that, I want to make sure that I always give tons of love and a huge shout out to my producer and dear friend, Cindy Valero. Hey there, Cindy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for all you do to help this show. I appreciate you so much. And Cindy, will you do the honors and introduce Chris to our listening audience today?
Yes, I will. Chris Saadi is the co-director of the Olive Branch Center, along with his wife, Jessie Thompson, where he teaches courses on engaged spirituality. He has led more than 200 psychological and spiritual retreats and continues to serve as a personal coach for individuals and couples. Chris was born into a Christian family in Lebanon, where he held leadership positions in nonprofit organizations working for nonviolence, peace, and humanitarian relief. His experiences with the suffering born out of the war led him to develop a profound understanding of grief from a very personal perspective and a passionate respect for diversity. Chris worked as a licensed psychotherapist for 11 years in private practice, specializing in depression and life transitions before migrating into the world of coaching, writing, and teaching. He has written two books, Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice, and Prayers for Peace and Justice. And he has also recorded two recordings with Andrew Harvey. Welcome to our show, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you, Mandy, and with you, Cindy, on that show.
Awesome, Chris. So today, we are going to be speaking about hope and parenting on our show, Finding Hope. Chris and I are going to zero in on authenticity and go through authenticity around supporting the authentic nature within your own children. So Chris, let's just go for it and jump right in and talking about supporting the authentic nature of our children. What do we mean by that? What does that look like? Let's share that information with our listening friends.
Okay. I would like to start by going back to the ancient Romans. And the ancient Romans believed that every child comes to the world with a particular intelligence, and they called that intelligence genius. And genius is a spirit that inhabits the child, a spirit of intelligence. And they believed that the role of parents was to help that child, to help every child discover their own particular intelligence, to develop it, and to thrive through it. So the role of the parent really was to create a space for the authentic intelligence, the authentic nature, the authentic personality, and the authentic desires of the child to be able to thrive, and to thrive in a way that respects the boundaries, of course, that they live in and the world that they live in. But that's a very interesting approach, because I believe that it is our role to understand that every child that is born with a particular, specific, and unique personality, a unique self, and that we cannot mold that self into whatever we want. Our role as parents, it is to support that child to come to know herself or himself, come to know their self, their personality, their own particular intelligence, and then to learn how to develop it and how to use it for their own good and the good of the world around them.
I love these words, and I think it's so inspiring, this idea of a parent's role is to help nurture the particular genius or authentic nature of their child, not to mold their child into who we think the child ought to be, but learning how to create, I love the words that you said, create and carve out the space for our child to discover who am I? What is my authentic nature about? What are the things that I enjoy? What do I not enjoy? You know, what are the things that make me special and unique? And giving our children permission to fully be who they are, to support them in being who they are. And what happier, I mean, I just need to say this, what happier, more kind of well-adjusted children, you know, we all will have when we're supporting the authenticity of our children.
Exactly, Mandy.
Yeah.
You know, as parents, we want to protect our children. We love them so much that we want to protect them. We want them to do well in the world. We want them not to be crushed by the challenges of the world. And sometimes we are tempted to think that if we give them a prescription, if we tell them, okay, this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to study, these are the jobs that are good for you, this is how you need to behave, this is how you need to be in the world. And we are tempted to give them these prescriptions because we think that these prescriptions will protect them. The danger of prescriptions like that is that they can crush their spirit. They can subdue their spirit and subdue their authenticity, which actually will weaken them and will make them more rebellious, more stressed, and much less vital and strong and passionate in the world. While if we take the time with our children to observe them, to get to know what kind of personality they are, meaning what kind of innate gifts they have, but also what innate lacks they have, because every personality comes with gifts and lacks. I mean, everyone has these.
Absolutely.
And so not to push them to redeem their lacks, because we all have lacks, but to accept and bless their lacks and then focus on their gifts. Focus on the way they themselves naturally show up in the world. So to let them know that their nature is precious and that they can trust their nature, they can trust their personality, that trust, learning to trust our personality, learning to trust the nature in us, is a gift we give to our children that is worth millions, because it is people who trust their nature, who trust themselves, who trust their intuition, who trust their feelings, who trust their desires, and of course, follow it in a very intelligent way.
Sure.
These are the people that succeed in the world, and these are the people that are able to dance the dance of life in a way that is joyful and also in a way that is fulfilling.
So powerful. And, you know, I was thinking about my beautiful daughter, Tess, and that, you know, Tess's nature, what I've discovered about it thus far, and in just one aspect, Tess is more introverted, and she is more of what we would call a loner. And her mother, myself, I'm an extroverted connector.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned about my daughter is that because introverts recharge and re-energize first and foremost by being alone or interacting with just one or two people, you know, after I've been away from her, she's been at school or she was with her dad for the weekend, and I pick her up, I'm wanting to connect. And she is wanting to come home after her day at school and have, because she's been in school all day with friends, she wants her alone time. She wants to play in her playroom on her own. And she needs that truly for you know, like bulks of hours. And what I finally realized was she feels so much better and is more adjusted every day to life and manages stress better when she gets what her authentic nature needs. She's a much happier little girl.
Yeah. And I am privileged to have met your daughter and know mm-hmm. what a beautiful, beautiful soul she is. And what a wonderful example, Amanda. Here, you as a mother, you are taking the time to say, what is the personality of my daughter?
Yeah.
And what works for my daughter? And in some ways, it could be the same as what works for you. But in some other instances, like this one, it could be the opposite of what works for you.
Right.
And that
right.
you're taking the time and saying, okay, this is her personality. This is how she resources. And this is what works for her. I mean, some children are very goal-oriented. They love to set a goal and go for that goal and achieve it, like we are adults. Some of us are instinctually or archetypally set up to find a lot of energy by going after goals. Now, many children are circular. Their creativity is circular, meaning they don't go in a straight line for something. They don't finish something. They circle around it and circle around it until one day they're able to achieve not only one thing, but several things at the same time. And sometimes when we see a child circling, we think that there's something wrong with that child. Why is that child not just finishing what they need to finish, and then they'll do something else? Well, for some personalities, that works. For some personalities, they need to do seven things at the same time to be able to achieve. That is the way they are. So we can learn then to support that and tell our child, this is wonderful that you have a circular creativity, rather than make them feel bad about it and make them fight it, which will drain their energy, but tell them, okay, this is great that you're circular. Now, how can you do that circular creativity in a way that works well within the boundaries of your school or the boundaries of family life, and teach them to mediate their creativity with their environment. However, how wonderful when a person who is an introvert or an extrovert, who is goal-oriented or who has a circular creativity, who likes to wander or who likes to build big things, if every child is acknowledged in their own particular intelligence, their own particular creativity, and made to trust that, then we give them that strength for life.
We give them
that strength for life. When I see my daughter trusting her spirit, trusting herself, I have a huge smile on my face. I feel like this is the best gift I could have ever given my daughter, is to see her trust her nature, rather than fight her nature, subdue her nature, go against her nature.
That's so powerful. I can't wait till we come back from break. All right, Fred, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be speaking more about the authentic nature of our children and how to support them. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Friends of eWomen Network, I want to share with you two cutting-edge and soul-stirring books by author and visionary Chris Saadi. Both are highly recommended by a host of spiritual teachers, such as Kate Sheehan Roach and Andrew Harvey. These books focus on the emergence of an evolutionary spiritual understanding. That is, the importance and the power of living authentically, freeing our authentic, unique self, and pursuing our calling from our authentic passion to serve freedom, peace, justice, and inclusion. These two books are Second Wave Spirituality and Prayers for Peace and Justice by Chris Saade, S-A-A-D-E. Saade is on Amazon.com and the olivebranchcenter.net.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I'm your host, Mandy Epley, and I'm here with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saade. We're speaking about hope and parenting, and specifically the authentic nature of our children. Chris, I want to ask this question. We were speaking about before break around how to honor our children's authentic nature, how much that supports them, how much it gets them out of conflict within themselves, how much they'll flourish and thrive, and how do we identify our children's the personality traits of their authentic nature?
You know, we know how precious our children are, and we just love our children. We think they're the most precious thing in the world. Having said that, it's very important to take that sense of preciousness to the personality of the child and to their desires. So how do we identify their authenticity? I think to start with, for us as parents, to really observe their personality traits and then observe their desire. As far as personality traits, observe what they do naturally, what they do naturally and joyfully. You will see then their personality. Now, we are tempted sometimes, and we do that to ourselves as adults. It's like what we don't have, we want to spend our life making ourselves have it, rather than investing in what we already have. You know, a horse is a horse and tries to be a horse, doesn't try to be something else. and an elephant or an eagle tries to be an eagle, not something else. The eagle doesn't look at the elephant and says, oh, I want to develop what the elephant has. Yeah. So the child comes with something that they naturally do very well. And then help them, observe them, and help them trust that these are enough, that these gifts will give them a fulfilled life if they would just invest in these gifts. And children love that because they already do that naturally. So, you know, if the child draws naturally, encourage them to draw more. Encourage them to discover the whole world of drawing. If a child is a great active runner out there, great. Encourage them to do that. Like you said, if a child is more introverted, more into dreaming, encourage them to dream, because then they might be a great leader at the industry and dream new ideas there.
Right.
But sometimes we feel like we have to be everything to succeed in the world. Actually, to really succeed and be happy, we must not be everything. We must be who we are. Nothing less, but nothing more. So for us is to really help the child know what they do naturally and then develop that. And then they will develop it really well. Now, the second thing is for us as parents to observe what our children desire, not what they have to do and they must do. I mean, some of that is okay. There are things that children must do because they are children and they're learning how to live life. And it's as parents, we have to teach them that. But to also take a lot of time and see what our children desire. What is it that they love? What is it that they crave for? Well, that gives us tremendous information on their personality. Because on their authenticity, because we start know what they naturally desire. And then to really encourage that within the limits of boundaries, of course. We parents have to set boundaries, and that the child is still a child and has to respect the boundaries. But within these boundaries, to help the child develop the art of desiring, the art of being able to say that to the parents, Mom, Dad, I desire this, or I don't desire that. Because that is a gift they will have for their whole life, rather than growing as adults and saying, I don't know what I want, I don't know what pleases me. So they learn to develop, as I said, the art of creative desiring. And that's how we as parents, by listening to what they do naturally and listening to what they desire and helping guide them in these two directions, we then get to know their authenticity, their precious, precious authenticity, and then we get to help them maximize what is already something that is in them and that they love to do. So they will be doing more of what they love to do and less and less and less of what is not part of their nature, and that is okay. Actually, that is very helpful.
It's so different than that the world of trying to be all and do all.
Yes.
And I meet so many adults in my work who don't know what they like, who don't know truly are, you know, and a big part of the work that we then do is the discovery of their own authentic nature.
Yes.
And what you're saying is the importance of supporting our little ones early in life, that, you know, that basically what's good, what's healthy, what's whole is going with what's natural within them, and not trying to fit themselves into a mold that is not their fit.
That is so true, and many of us grew up being told that what you want and what you desire has no place. You got to just do what you got to do. You just got to listen to me because I know better right now, and then you will have your desire when you grow up. The problem is when they grow up 20 years later, if they haven't developed, like you said, the muscle of knowing what they love, knowing what nurtures them, knowing what soothes them, knowing what their heart desires, it becomes very hard as an adult to redevelop that. They can redevelop it, but it will take a lot of therapy and personal development to be able to recapture something that it is so much more powerful if it is developed at a younger age. And what is interesting, Mandy, is children who are encouraged to live more naturally actually do not become spoiled, because some people say, well, if my child is natural, they'll be spoiled. No, it's the opposite. A child who learns to trust their nature and to enjoy their nature are much more willing to partner with the family and to follow the rules of the family. And a child who subdues their nature will tend to be much more rebellious against the powers that leads him to subdue her or his nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important for us to reflect on, because children are naturally want to work with the parents. But like us adults, children love their freedom and they don't want to be at war with themselves. So the more we bring them to be in harmony with the flow of their own energy, in harmony with the flow of their own self and the truth of their self, the more they will work with us around compliance. Now, of course, nothing is perfect, and children will always be children, but we maximize the ability for the child to feel respected and to feel drawn in a partnership with the parents and with the family.
I mean, one of the things that I want to say for our listening friends is that, you know, what can help you with this as the example I was giving earlier about, you know, the places where, you know, my daughter is a more introverted loner when I'm wanting to connect with her, and that the more I respect her authentic nature, the more there's harmony within her and there's more harmony within our relationship.
Yes.
And what I've had to do is to be willing to myself as the adult stretch and grow. And that our children, you know, to remind all of us that, you know, it's not about trying to get our children to fit into what we are wanting or makes us more comfortable. In fact, it's giving me this incredible opportunity to grow myself the more supportive I am of her. And
how
that's something
what
for
saying,
all of
Mandy.
Us to keep in mind.
Yeah, how beautiful. I mean, I experienced the same thing. nothing has brought me to look at my own authenticity and to look at my right to be who I am than helping my daughter to claim her own authenticity.
Yeah.
We as adults can gain immense liberation, liberating our true self, liberating our authentic self by helping our children liberate it. Mm-hmm. Liberate that own authenticity in them and their own truth, because we realize that what we are trying to give to our children, we also deserve as parents. So we start then to expand that area of authenticity in our life. And nothing is perfect, but even small steps toward expanding authenticity bring a lot of fruit, psychological and health-wise and spiritual. On the three levels.
Yes. I mean, to help children be at harmony within themselves. What I'll say is that we have so many adults walking around that have an inner civil war with, you know, their own authentic nature, and that it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be more and more accepting of who we are, and how shame and perfectionism trick us into thinking we need to be all for all.
Exactly.
What I think is so important about what you're saying is to watch and observe our children around, you know, where they go joyfully, what they're doing naturally, what they desire, and to support them in that specificity. And how much more children will thrive, and that it's not about perfectionism. It's not trying to be all and accomplish all. It's about what is my unique contribution? What can I bring based on my nature? So when we come back from break, we'll be speaking about, you know, supporting our children and helping them experience and see their belonging in the world and what that means. Stay with us. Yeah.
May I just say something quickly before we take a break?
Please do.
Okay, thank you. I think it's very important for us, following on what you're speaking about, this war with ourselves that many adults have, to understand that the root of depression, if it is profound depression or if it is depressive, milder depressive attacks, the root of depression is warring or being at war with our own authenticity.
Yeah.
And that's very important to keep
powerful.
In mind. And that's why harmony is so important, because harmony is the source of strength, of a powerful will, and of creativity.
Mm. So important. So glad you interrupted me, because it's about understanding how big, how essential it is what we're speaking about today, that helping our children not be at war with ourselves or with themselves, helping them be in harmony, and the impact that even has for their future adult lives and even their young lives around depression. So important, Chris. Thank you. When we come back, we will be speaking about belonging. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
The 7 steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in 7 coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful 7 steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and I am with today my dear friend and colleague, Krista Audie. We have been having a juicy, informative, important, essential conversation about hope and parenting, the authentic nature of our children. And we're going to move into how, when we support our children in their authentic nature, how that brings about that sense of belonging to a larger picture and how essential that is. Chris, share with us your thoughts about that idea.
Well, you know, Mandy, a big concern that people have when we talk about authenticity is, well, if we support our children to trust their nature, follow their nature, listen to their heart, listen to their desires, and be in harmony with all of that, well, they might become totally self-centered, and they will forget the family, forget the community, forget the world. And is that the kind of children we want? Is that the kind of adults we want in the world? Well, let's look at that for a minute, because actually it is the opposite.
Yeah.
When people are at war with themselves, or are fighting parts of themselves, or are subduing part of themselves, they are so drained, if not depressed, but at least drained, that they have very little to give to the family and to the world.
Yeah.
When a child learns the art and the tool and the skills of being in harmony with their precious nature, in harmony with who they were born to be in the world, in harmony with the spirit that was given to them by the earth, by God, by ancestors, whatever your belief is, then they will have much more love and predisposition to give to the family, give to the community, and give to the world. Generosity is born out of authenticity. Now, having said that, we as parents have to awaken that generosity in our children. We have to remind them that they belong to their own truth, but they also belong to the world. We are children of the world. We are children of the earth. We are not isolated beings. We are connected to all living beings, be it human, animals, or the earth itself. And this is where, as we support the authenticity of our children, it helps a lot from a very young age to develop the sense of empathy in our children, empathy with those who suffer in the world and those who are struggling in the world, and to develop in them a sense of generosity, a sense of sharing that vital energy that they're developing with those who are struggling in the world. Many times parents think that they have to protect their children from suffering in the world because that might depress them. That will not depress them. It will evoke in them greater love and greater generosity. And generosity will make the child feel connected, feel strong, and feel a sense of meaning. So I highly recommend that at a very young age, children are exposed. For example, take them to soup kitchens, help them volunteer at soup kitchen, allow them to see documentaries or information about the struggles in the world, and then hold their hand and help them absorb it and say, okay, what can you do, my darling daughter or my darling son, to contribute? It could be that I remember one time I was working with some children, and they saw the struggle of poverty that was happening in the world. And I said, what can you do? And a child takes a toy that he was playing with, and it was one of his favorite toys. I said, I would like to offer them that toy. And it was like, this is wonderful. And so we took the toy and we sent it and we told them who we're sending it to and all of that. And the child felt great. They felt that they were contributing, that they were part. So as we support children to enter into harmony with their authenticity and to experience freedom within boundaries, we also can support them at a very early age to develop a sense of empathy with the struggles of the world. And more important, or as important, to develop a sense of giving. And of course, a child will give a little. But there are children at the age of 13, 14 that work with Habitat for Humanity, and they almost 99.999 report an incredible sense of meaning, an incredible sense of connection, participation, and that their life matters And they learn the joy of giving. They learn the ecstasy of going from that acquired strength from their inner harmony to the ecstasy of sharing that strength with others and feeling that they belong to the world.
You know, I want to reflect on Tess. What you said is so true, and I'm going to come at it from this perspective that, you know, when we are at war and we have this inner civil war within ourselves, what I see is that human beings become very self-consumed,
yes,
very focused within, and,
yes,
and you know, not really, I mean, so consumed with themselves that they're not seeing what's going on in the world around them. And how it makes so much sense to me, and I see it in my own child, around supporting her in the specificity of who she is, the authenticity of her becoming, the unfolding of who she is in the world. Mm-hmm. And that when she, you know, then it's exactly true, I mean, how this all lines up, in that I have that inside of me that I don't want her to know about horror and heartbreak in the world. I mean, I'm sure every parent can identify with this. I mean, it rips my heart out. Just talking about it, I can feel that feeling in my heart and in my stomach. And I have made that decision at certain times to share things with her. And so several weeks ago now, the picture that went viral around the world of the Syrian man who was holding his drowned son.
Right, right.
That just, you know, thank God it went viral, because it's awakened so many people who weren't aware of what was happening in Syria and that part of our world. And I shared this. Tess saw the image. I shared it with her. And it, of course, saddened her so deeply, just really broke her heart. And that night, we then spoke about, when it was bedtime, about, you know, she said, "I'm thinking about that man so much, Mommy, and thinking about his son." And we sent them energy, and we sent them prayer. And it just developed more and more empathy, more and more awareness, more and more sense of justice. The more open I am with her about what's going on in the world, the more sense of empathy and injustice she cares about.
That is so wonderful, Mandy. That is so wonderful. Of course, as parents, we have a sense of what is too much. And you know, we know how much our children can handle or not. But in this situation, it was wonderful that you allowed her to see that picture, because her heart expanded, her heart opened up. And Tess has such a beautiful heart, and it even went bigger. And the bigger heart we can develop in our children, the more we can protect them from the dangers in teenage years of teenage delinquents. Because teenage delinquents,
yeah,
comes from a sense of meaninglessness. I mean,
yeah,
children struggle with two things mainly, and these two things we can make a big difference. They struggle with being at war with parts of themselves, like we said before, that can put them in danger of depression, of depressive episodes. And the other thing they struggle is a sense of meaninglessness. And when a child feels meaningless, then they are tempted to fill that void of feeling meaninglessness with abuse of drugs or abuse of alcohol or any other kind of abuse. So when that child, like you did with Tess, learns empathy, knows about the struggles of the world, sees pictures guided by their parents who can hold their hand and help them absorb that, then and learning, and the child learning to always know, what can I do? Even if it's a small thing, it makes a big difference. Maybe I'll go volunteer one day a month or one day every 3 months at the homeless shelter, or I will send things, or I will, a lot of children go to school and they start raising funds for different causes.
The
more that child feels that they belong and that they can make a difference. The more they develop a sense of meaning in them,
yeah.
and the more they are protected from the danger of meaninglessness. Because
yeah.
instinctually, we are beings both of a very unique authenticity and a oneness with our environment. That's
mm-hmm.
how we are instinctually
mm-hmm.
made. So
mm-hmm.
we are unique, and we have to know that uniqueness, and parents have to guide us into developing that uniqueness. And at the same time, we are one with the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are one. We belong to the earth. We belong to people. We belong to planet Earth and the universe.
Yeah.
And the child needs to start at a young age feeling both the sense of uniqueness and how that uniqueness is being protected and guided intelligently, and to feel the sense of belonging, the sense of meaning, and the sense of oneness with the world. These are two strengths that we can give the child that will be foundational strengths to their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So they become faithful to their truth and at the same time extremely generous and knowledgeable in how to acquire joy through giving.
Well, it's incredible, because what we're saying is that, before we go to break, is that when children have a sense of belonging, it's another piece of the puzzle of where their authenticity is needed in the world.
Yes, beautiful.
I mean, they then discover, oh, this is where my gifts are needed.
Beautiful.
When we come back, we'll be speaking about that more around belonging, authenticity. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Did you know 1 in 8 women are affected by breast cancer? We lose over 40,000 lives a year from this devastating disease. It is tragic, and yet early detection saves lives. Hi, I'm Katherine Getzke, and Chief Mood Officer of the Mood Factory. We are brightening our world pink this year to raise money and awareness for breast and ovarian health, but we need your help. During October, join us and light your dorm, front porch, or office pink to shine a positive light on breast cancer. If you purchase one of our Hot Pink Sassy Mood Lights at Lowe's Home Improvement during September and October, we will donate 25 cents to Bright Pink. Bright Pink is the only national nonprofit focused on prevention and early detection of breast and ovarian cancer in young women. We are encouraging communities across America to light pink to start a community-level conversation on breast health, because knowing your breast health is key to prevention. Our Hot Pink Sassy Mood Lights are available at your local Lowe's Home Improvement store, or you can go to themoodfactory.com to learn more. Join us, share a pic, and use hashtag #BrightenOurWorld, and shine a positive, bright pink light on breast cancer today.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, welcome back. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. We are speaking with Chris Saadi today about supporting the authentic nature of our children, hope, and parenting. And we were speaking about, before our break, about supporting our children in belonging. And now I want us to shift into speaking about supporting our children in the authenticity of their feelings. What are your thoughts about this, Chris, around supporting the authentic feelings in our children?
Hi, this is so important, Mandy, right? I mean, if
yes.
we are going to help our children come to love their spirit, come to love their nature, come to be faithful to their hearts, and come to give that love to the world and follow what they love and follow the dream that touches their heart and go for their dreams, then our children are going to experience some failures on the journey.
Yes.
And sometimes our fear of failure paralyzes us as individuals, and we can project that paralysis on our children. It's like, oh my God, but if they do really what they really want to do, then they might fail. And like failing is so bad because failing can bring sadness and failing can bring anxiety. Well, our children, these precious beings, are endowed by nature and by life to feel the whole scope of feelings. They can feel peace, they can feel excitement, they can feel happiness, but they can also feel anxiety, anger, and sadness. And that is perfectly natural. And not only is it natural, it is essential for their development. It's essential for all of us. Let us remember that a feeling is an intelligent response to a situation.
Yes.
And sometimes the intelligent response to a situation is to be anxious or
yes.
to be sad. We as parents can help our children understand that their feelings are intelligence responses, that they can trust their feelings. And, again, we can guide them in letting these feelings take them to a place of creativity, of giving, of moving forward. So we can guide them how to mine their feelings into greater creativity. That is our role as parents, while at the same time letting them know that the experience of sadness, grief, the experience of failure is part and parcel of any great creativity. There are no great creators out there in any field, if it is music or business or politics, that have not known a lot of failures.
Right.
Because failures are the stepping stones toward the expansion of the mind and toward the ability to create the new and to break through. So if we want our children to succeed, we have to allow them to experience the failures that are part of their story while being there to support them and being there to not allow their feelings of grief, anxiety, anger, or their failures to be shamed. What will hurt our children is shame, not the feelings. We don't suffer because we are grieving. We suffer because we feel shame around our grieving.
Yeah.
So we can help. Failures, we as adults know, and as children, you see children they in the playground, they you know, have a breakdown, they fail, and then 3 minutes after, they're up and they're doing it again, or they're trying something else, which
right.
is the natural way to live, is you fall and you stand back again, you fall again, you stand up again, and now you do it more intelligently, and you learn from it. What paralyzes children is not failure. Failure is a very important part of growth. What paralyzes children is to feel shame about failure.
Yeah.
And this is where we parents can say to our children, there is no shame in failing. It is part and parcel of the creative process. It is absolutely part of claiming our greatest dream and going for what we love. So
I mean,
that
how
is so
essential it is, how essential it is, I mean, around helping our children and ourselves, you know, get out of civil war internally, that, you know, this acceptance of feelings and this welcoming of sadness, anger, and anxiety, to see that as intelligent responses as opposed to that these are feelings to be rid of.
Yes.
But to teach our children to, even though these feelings may hurt or they're uncomfortable, to welcome them, and that these feelings are giving them information about their own authentic nature.
Exactly.
And to, you know, to keep putting their energy into life, even if that brings, you know, sadness or anxiety or anger, and that experience of disappointment, because opening up our perspective around you know, the paradox of life around both sides of life supports our children to take more risks, to inform who they are, and to keep growing. I think what you said about failures are the stepping stones of life, and to encourage that, okay, we're sad, we're disappointed, but we're, you know, we're going to take this information and discover what's next without shame, without shame.
Exactly, without shame, Mandy. And two things here. One, that parents, we as parents can do. One is say to our child, for example, you're angry. Okay, it's great that you're angry. You can trust your nature. Your nature right now is responding to the situation by being angry. You can trust it. You can trust it. And the child goes, wow, really? Yes, you can trust your anger. Now, as a parent, I want to help you how to use your anger creatively so it ends up blessing you and blessing everybody involved. So it becomes an expression of love at the end. So I can help you as a parent guide your anger into the creativity of love. The second thing we can do is when our children try, they try something and they fail at it. You know, they want to join a band and they, you know, are training for that band. And we have a feeling as parents that they might not be accepted, but we're not going to tell them not to go for it because that is what they want. That's what they love. They go for it and they failed. They're not accepted. What I recommend, and I know you recommend that too, Mandy, is throw a failure party.
Yes.
When
I
your
love
child
it.
Is rejected, surprise them 3-4 days later by taking them to dinner to their best restaurant, or by giving them that bicycle they always wanted, or by inviting friends and throwing a party. And when the child says, why are you throwing a party? I was not accepted. Because your failure is a sign of your courage and your strength to go for your dream. So we're going to take the shame out of it, and we are going to replace it by honoring and celebrating failure. We celebrate your spirit. We celebrate your authenticity. We don't celebrate win or specific wins. You win, you lose, we celebrate as long as you are doing that because you love it and you're investing your spirit in it. And that they remember their whole life. Then they go and they're not afraid of failures. What stops us as adults from claiming the dreams that speak to our heart is that the road to our beloved dreams are laden with failures, of course.
These are
the steps to get there. As long as we follow what we love and what gives us joy and pleasure, we need to learn to honor grief, honor failures. And that is tremendously important because children will easily start feeling shame around feeling grief, anger, or anxiety, and they will feel shame around failing, and that shame will drain their energies. Mm-hmm. And we as parents can come and help supporting them and honoring that. And the great news, like you mentioned before, as we do that with our children, guess what? We start doing it more with ourselves.
Yes. I mean, there is so much we've said today that can turn into so many powerful discussions. I love what you said, Chris, around, you know, just this courage that it builds within our children. I mean, when we're celebrating their failure, you know, we're celebrating the courage that your spirit authentically went for it, and how that bolsters our children. And as you just, you know, stated, bolsters ourselves, helps us as we're all seeking to be able to have joy in our lives and to feel whole and to feel good in our own skin. And we want that for our children. I want to say to you all, in that we are needing to close Finding Hope, I want you all to know about Chris's work in the world. One of Chris's books that he has out is Second Wave Spirituality, very much about the transformations that are happening right now around the hope and the heart opening in the world and what's happening in the world around this movement all over, regardless of people's spiritual traditions or belief systems, what people are doing around service and giving back. It's such a beautiful, powerful book. And his latest book is Prayers for Peace and Justice. I really encourage you all to find Chris's work. It's amazing. You can find his work at the Olive Branch Center.net. Prayers for Peace and Justice are beautifully powerful heart-written prayers connecting with life, with the divine, with the beloved. I just have it sitting on my nightstand, and just such a rich experience. So I want you all to know about Chris's incredible work in the world. Thank you for taking time out of all that you have going on to dialogue with me today, Chris, and to share your wisdom with our listeners around supporting our children and their authentic nature.
Thank you, Mandy. And I want to say something in gratitude to you. But before, I want to add to the beautiful words you said that, of course, the books are also available on Amazon, if that's easier for you.
Amazon.com. Oh, yes.
And thank you for your kind words. And Mandy, it is always a pleasure and an honor to work with you. You are such a skilled professional. You have helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people reclaim their passion, reclaim their heart, reclaim their authenticity, and follow their dreams. And you bring that passion and that love to your radio shows. And so it is always a pleasure, but it's also an honor to be in your presence and to be in conversation with you. I wish you the very best, because I know how much you touch lives and how much you help people and how much you speak from the passion of your own heart.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Y'all, Chris will be back with us when we have him on next month. We're going to be speaking about passion. Can't wait to have that show with you, Chris. You all take very good care. Be kind to yourselves. We'll see you next time on Finding Hope.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the 7 steps and takes a deep dive into Step 4, Paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey. After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically. Feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, "Hear about the transformational 7 steps of grief and hope," and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.